Hello and welcome to the Partners for Progressive Israel podcast. I'm Nicole Cooper, your host in Jerusalem. Thanks for joining me. This episode is about Silwan, an East Jerusalem village which is now being literally run to the ground by the collaboration of several Israeli authorities and the Ir David Foundation, also known as Elad Settler Organization. Silwan is at the southeastern side of the old city, just beyond the city walls, down from the western wall in the Haram al-Sharif complex in Jerusalem. It is backed by the Mount of Olives, and on the opposite side is where the excavations are happening to uncover old findings and build new myths around the King David and his city, the original Jerusalem, and its roads and tunnels into the First and Second Temple area, now the Temple Mount and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. These excavations have destroyed life in Silwan. They have secretly dug under people's homes. They've ruined the vibrancy of the streets, the playing in the spring, and visitors coming to rest and eat from the fruit trees. The archaeological digs and settler presence has created an environment of child arrests, violence, boredom, lack of space, and has filled the air with dust, noise, and tension. Before we hear from my guest today, I'm going to read from three sources. First, from Iramim, an organization I love more and more as I do research deeper into Jerusalem issues. They work for an equitable and stable Jerusalem with an agreed political future. Then I'll read from the Wadi Hilwe Information Center, created by the people of Silwan neighborhood, and finally from the Ir David Foundation's website. First, Iramim, about settlements and national parks. According to law, a national park is an area designated for public use for leisure and nature or to commemorate values of historic, archaeological, architectural, natural, or landscaping importance, or the likes. The definition is flexible and broad enough to justify the conversion of different kinds of areas into national parks. The first national park in East Jerusalem, Walls of Jerusalem National Park, was declared in 1976 and included the strip surrounding the walls of the Old City, extending into Silwan / the City of David. Since the 1990s, additional areas of East Jerusalem have been turned into national parks, some of them as additions to Walls of Jerusalem and some, like the Tzurim Valley National Park, as an extension of it deep into the Palestinian neighborhoods without claiming the site has any archaeological, historical, or landscaping importance. Additional national parks are in planning and approval stages, including the Mount Scopus Slopes, planned to be on the land of the neighborhoods of Atur and Isawiya, and at the expense of plans to expand these neighborhoods, which are in approval stages. Added to that are municipal plans such as the King's Garden, which is supposed to be an expansion of the City of David National Park and will involve the demolition of most of the Al-Bustan neighborhood of Silwan. Israeli settlements and national park projects in Palestinian neighborhoods in and around the Old City create an impervious religious ethnic net that affects the character and development prospects of the neighborhoods. As Israeli control over parts of East Jerusalem inside and next to the Palestinian neighborhood strengthens, Palestinian control over East Jerusalem weakens, and their physical and symbolic connection to the historic basin is gradually waning. This process is being supported on the public level by a nationalist narrative that utilizes historic and religious arguments while erasing the political dimension of the process and its dangers. This policy is part of a comprehensive policy toward a greater Jerusalem. Along with the giant neighborhoods and settlements in the eastern ring of Jerusalem and the clusters of settlements to its north, east, and south that comprise Greater Jerusalem, the settlements and national parks in the Palestinian neighborhoods create a geographic, strategic contiguity in and around the Old City. It leans on Mount Scopus and Mele Adumim and joins a highway system ending at the outskirts of Jericho, thus severely impeding the possibility of an equitable living arrangement in Jerusalem, and the chance of reaching a political settlement that respects the private and collective rights of the members of the two peoples who share the city. As promised, this next bit of reading is from the Wadi Hilwe Information Center in Silwan's little booklet called The Story Behind the Tourist Site. It's filled with good information, but I tried to pick the best to illustrate the issues and to give you some more background. I'm reading from their book because I went down there a couple times to talk to someone, but no one was there. And then when I did go, I talked with Sahar, who we will hear a bit from, but because it's Ramadan, she wasn't feeling very energetic, and so she didn't want me to record. So I decided I would read from their book because it's very informative, and I like the way it's put together. This page is called Silwan, a Buried Treasure. The Wadi Hilwa neighborhood has emerged as a target of Israeli expropriation owing to its historical importance and to Israeli claims regarding the existence of a stone structure and Jewish artifacts in the area, in addition to the presence of a sacred spring, according to the Torah. The archaeological excavations in Wadi Hilwa began in the late 19th century, when the German researcher Charles Warren discovered the neighborhood's underground water system and was thereby able to determine the location of the old city. Warren was followed by a number of archaeologists who undertook digs and excavations, a process which has been continued today by Israeli archaeologists in an attempt to substantiate their presence in and settlements of the area. Indeed, the frequency of these digs and excavation increased over time alongside the confiscation of lands and houses in numerous roundabout ways. Then, in 1986, the settler organization El-Ad began its activities in the village. In the organization's mission statement, it notes that its goal is to authenticate the Jewish connection to Jerusalem through visits, guided tours, inhabitation of the area, and educational materials. The group has also worked to transfer ownership of the village's homes and lands into its own hands. This is the next page. El-Ad and its cancerous settlements. El-Ad takes control of citizens' property in a number of roundabout and malicious ways with the help of Israeli authorities and government institutions, as well as weak-hearted individuals after their own personal interests in the following ways. 1. Transfer of property confiscated under the absentee's property law without a public bidding process and in return for a symbolic leasehold. 2. Transfer of Jewish National Fund property seized before the Nakba without a public bidding process for a symbolic sum. And 3. Purchase of homes from their owners with the help of brokers using pressure tactics and extortion. The turning point. The turning point on the path towards El-Ad's control over the village's homes came in 1997, when the organization took responsibility for protection and preservation of the City of David National Park from the Israel Land Authority. In 2002, a group of archaeologists filed an appeal to the Israeli Supreme Court over the Israel Land Authority's decision to transfer management of the City of David from the Israel Natural and Parks Authority to El-Ad without any opposition from the Israeli Antiquities Authority. This page is called Construction Prohibited and has an exclamation point. Since the 1980s, Silwan has suffered, as have other Palestinian neighborhoods and villages in and around Jerusalem, from absolute negligence of the Jerusalem municipality concerning the village's needs. The village remains without infrastructure, residential, educational, or economic, and since the occupation of Jerusalem, the occupying forces have not granted any building permits for apartments or residential buildings in the Wadi Hilwa neighborhood. The status quo has driven the residents to build without permits, turning the average resident into a violator of the building code, pursued by various Israeli authorities who levy upon him exorbitant fines and punishments, up to and including imprisonment. Typically, the Israeli courts have ruled in favor of housing demolition, either at the hands of the municipality or the residents themselves. The occupying forces distribute three types of demolition orders in Silwan, the most dangerous of which is administrative demolition, which the municipality may carry out within 24 hours and which has become the most widespread of the three, particularly in those areas sought after by the Nature and Parks Authority. The other types of demolition orders include judicial orders issued by the Israeli courts and orders to clean the area. While the former are often postponed, the latter have been used by the municipality in the last 2 years to clear large swaths of land using various pretexts. Throughout 2013, the municipality demolished residential buildings and cleared land in Wadi Hilwa, Al-Abbasiya, and Wadi al-Rababa under the cover of such an order. From the very first days of the occupation of Jerusalem, the occupying forces took control of Silwan and began a series of demolitions, arrests, and confiscations of land alongside the construction of settlements. In the past few years, the occupying forces have worked gradually to implement their plans for the land. The plan to authorize the implementation of the Kedem Center, Ir David Historical Basin Project in the Dung Gate area, property owned by the residents of Silwan and used for agricultural purposes up until the occupation of the city in 1967,
during which time the municipality confiscated the land, destroying two rooms belonging to the Abdu family and turning the area into a parking lot. This page is the occupation, persecuting the dead of Silouan. In Silouan, the Israeli occupation does not differentiate between the living and the dead, and just as it destroys houses and confiscates neighborhoods, the Israeli Supreme Court ruled in favor of the confiscation of 1,800 square meters of the southern section of the Old City, Gate of Mercy Cemetery, known as the Silouan Cemetery or Muslim Cemetery. The authorities plan to demolish 39 empty graves to prevent burial in ancient tombs and work to rehabilitate the area in order to create a tourist path and convert it to a national park. It is worth noting that the Gate of Mercy Cemetery is an Islamic cemetery and a land endowment, but the confiscated section, known as the Silwanha Cemetery, was used as a burial site for Silwan residents up until 2004. Now, families preparing to bury their dead there are threatened with arrest and prevented from completing the burial process. Some families have resisted and continue to bury their dead there. The Israeli authorities have dug tunnels under the houses and streets of Silwan continuously for years, such that foundational cracks and landslides have become regular occurrences, especially in the neighborhood of Wadi Hilwe. Residents of the neighborhood have often felt strange vibrations and heard noises coming from the ground below them. They eventually understood that the source of these vibrations and noises was the Israeli authorities digging beneath their homes. In 2007, they erected a protest tent and even appealed to the Israeli Supreme Court to put an end to the excavations, but their appeal was rejected and nothing has changed. In fact, many of those who filed the appeal to stop the excavation were arrested. The excavation has been described as a cancer because of the threat it poses to the lives of the population and because it spreads under and infiltrates residents' homes. In one area of Wadi Hilwe, there's been three major collapses over 2 years, not to mention the landslides in the main streets and the cracks in the houses. Despite the objections of the residents and their appeals for the cessation of the excavation, the El Ad Settlement Organization and the Israeli Antiquities Authority have continued to dig. The pamphlet goes on to talk about settler guards and violence and child arrests and the Hebrewization of the street names and neighborhood names. It's a colonial tactic we're all familiar with in Canada and the U.S. to rename neighborhoods and streets and rivers. But what's funny here is that, like in all of Israel, the signs are written in Hebrew and then Arabic and then English. And Arabic, the words don't exist. They're just basically a transliteration of the Hebrew name. Oftentimes, even Arabic is just scribbled out on signs because people don't even want to see the Arabic, even though it's fake Arabic. Well, not fake Arabic, but it's not something that's coming from them. It's a renaming of the proper Palestinian name for the place. The last page talks about tensions and violence in Silwan. It's called Simmering Tensions in Silwan. For over a decade, the residents of Silwan have lived under daily threat by occupying forces and settlers alike throughout the alleyways and streets of the village, transforming the entire village into a game of cat and mouse between the two sides. The announcement of intentions to demolish the Al Bustan neighborhood and to excavate tunnels underneath the area's homes may yet represent another spark of the fuse in Silwan. Silwan is being transformed into a laboratory for Israeli weapons, for sound bombs, for expired tear gas, and for live and rubber bullets, the sound of which ring out day and night and which have caused hundreds of injuries of choking and panic victims, particularly among women, children, and the elderly. Israeli aggression has led to hundreds of arrests, a phenomenon from which no resident of Silwan has been spared, such that a 5-year-old child, a 60-year-old sheikh, and a woman have all been imprisoned or detained. And the charge, defending their home and their land, defending Silwan. You can read more from them and from their news at www.silwanic.net, which is SILWANIC.net. As I mentioned, my guest did not want me to record her because she was feeling less articulate and tired from fasting for Ramadan. So I typed up my notes and my friend will read them for you now. They are fragmented thoughts prompted by some questions about life in Silwan.
Kiryat Silwan is where I work and live. I don't just come in for work and leave. It is a challenge. By staying here, it is resistance. Being Palestinian, here. In the 1990s, the settlers started coming, and there was a new wave of houses being taken this year. There is a right of return for the Jewish people in this area, but Palestinians have official papers. Living here, it's full of anxiety. We are always waiting for something bad to happen. There is no sense of stability. Since the Gaza war last year, there has been lots of unjustified violence. Violent child arrests. They're just boys, just throwing a stone, but he gets taken away and beat up. One boy tells of being locked up for 9 hours in solitary confinement with no food or water or toilet. He got interrogated, and if he didn't answer questions, was threatened that they will put his dad in jail. Things here are getting worse. The arrests are being conducted by the settler guards. They're civilians, not police. Settler kids throw stones at Palestinians, and there are no consequences. The pool is closed, there are no more coffee shops, much less vibrant now. There's no open space. If there's open space, it is targeted by settlers, and they will use the absentee property excuse. Everything happening is to make people more angry. I am a parent. I cannot show anger. From my experience, violence brings violence. We have a psychosocial department. Our kids are not well. It is very different from when I was a kid. They are following our kids to Baba Lamud, so the kids get frustrated and throw stones. Why are the settlers at Al-Aqsa at Ramadan? You've taken all of Palestine, taken all our houses. Why Al-Aqsa? It is our hope. God gives us hope. What is left if you take that? Israel is not following their own laws, and people are mentally unstable. A Palestinian man who hit a settler with his car, you don't know what happened to him, what he is thinking, how mentally healthy he is. I found his background story. He had been in solitary confinement. It's not terrorism. There are individual people doing actions who are not healthy people. It is not necessarily under the name of Free Palestine. People aren't all happy that this happened. It jeopardizes permits for Ramadan traveling. Where will our children be in the future? If they come in at night and take my boy, it is my right to not open the door. But if I don't, they will destroy it and take my boy anyway. Israel is creating enemies for the future. Young kids are arrested for nothing, so they think, well, maybe next time I will actually do something. So our community center tries to do something different. We encourage kids to use their energy in creative ways. We run art, journalism, writing, and more programs.
Now, digesting what she said and what I said in the past from the other organizations, we're going to hear from the website of the settler organization who's developing the area. So read between the lines. Ir David, or the City of David, is the actual location of the biblical city of Jerusalem captured by King David over 3,000 years ago. The Ir David Foundation, or El-Ad, is a nonprofit organization established in 1986. It's dedicated to the preservation and development of the biblical city of David and its environs. When David Be'eri, commander of an elite military unit, first visited the city of David in the mid-1980s, the city was in such state of disrepair and neglect that the former excavations that had been conducted in the area were once again concealed beneath garbage and waste. Inspired by the incredible archaeological significance of the site and the longing of the Jewish people to return to Jerusalem after 2,000 years, he left his army career to establish the Ir David Foundation. The Ir David Foundation is committed to continuing King David's legacy as well as revealing and connecting people to ancient Jerusalem's glorious past through four key initiatives: archaeological excavation, tourism development, educational programming, and residential revitalization. The foundation runs activities at three historic sites in ancient Jerusalem: the City of David National Park, Arman Hanetziv, and the Mount of Olives, bringing hundreds of thousands of visitors to its gates every year. Currently, the Israeli Antiquities Authority is excavating three sites in the City of David, sponsored by the Ir David Foundation: Givati, the Spring House, and the Herodian Road.
As excavations are completed, the area is open to tourism to further deepen visitors' understanding of its monumental past. Additional educational programming geared towards Israeli students, adults, and soldiers reconnects them to their history and heritage. So that's from the website of IR David. It's just IR David Foundation, if you search that, if you want to learn more. There's a lot of information about them online generally. They very blatantly state the goals of revitalizing the neighborhood to mean building settlements and taking over the space. I'm still confused by what material heritage is necessary to preserve and protect and what isn't. Where is that line drawn? At this point, I'll say thank you for listening and be sure to catch next week's podcast because I'm going to talk to an archaeologist from Emek Shave, the group that represents a lot of the issues happening in Silwan and who's been working specifically in the area of East Jerusalem for a long time. Finally, I'm going to read to you my reflection on my 2-hour walk through the village of Silwan a few weeks ago. It's the only time I've gone to a Palestinian village alone. I'm usually with other activists or my friends as we usually travel somewhere together or go on a planned visit to someone's house. This was a spontaneous time, and I'm glad I went, and I'm glad I was alone. But I do want my friends to visit as well. Dumpsters with equal amounts of garbage inside the bin and outside as usual. Cats perched on top of them, guarding their kingdoms. Are the cats smaller on this side of town? Tourists and people marked with signs of Judaism disappear. I am the only foreigner. I choose to turn left or right arbitrarily and walk accordingly. Sure-footed and unknowing. Half certain the narrow passageway of 20-foot-high stone is not leading me to someone's door, half unsure what I am doing. No, I know what I'm doing. I'm seeing. I'm moving beyond news articles and past the information center. I'm moving into the view I usually look at from the opposite hill of Abu Tor, where I spend 15 hours a week staring at this place from afar. Staring at the shoulder-to-shoulder concrete houses of Silwan, whose laundry lines are the only squares of color in a bed of limestone. Sandwiched between the Mount of Olives and the City of David is Silwan, where I'm now in the center of. As I pass people, I smile out marhaba, and the hot air carries back to me ahlan. I regret not having my camera, but then I never know how to feel about taking photos of impoverished places. Children ask where I'm from and are shocked to see me. But that's the usual of more remote places. This is not remote. This is a 15-minute walk from mega-sized tour buses. It's within the municipal boundaries of one of the most famous cities on the earth. More stares of disbelief greet me, and the young men ask in an accent I love, "Are you lost? Where do you want to go? Are you looking for the spring? La, la, la. I want to be here. I want to see your beautiful city. How are you?" "Tamam, enta," I say, causing him to stop in his tracks, the shock of me speaking the few words of Arabic I know. "Welcome to Palestine," he shouts happily at me, arms reaching to the sky, as him and his friends continue up the street as we move in opposite directions. I've passed the house with an Israeli flag. I've passed the City of David Visitors Center and the excavation site that's getting ready for the Kedem Center. All pieces of the same Israeli authority and settlement organized puzzle. The excavation site that was an open space for residents to use near Dung Gate of the old city that became a parking lot and renamed by the Israeli authorities after the IDF Givati Brigade after fighting with locals, yes. Welcome to Palestine. Palestine that smells like fresh figs whose olive trees are budding with fruit and color and the hillsides are flecked with fuchsias, oranges, and greens. Palestine, whose sensory experiences could also be smells of cat urine, burning garbage, and overwhelming amounts of dust from home concrete construction, which clouds the senses as the country forgets about its citizens. Perhaps Silwan would also smell like lunch of simmering vegetables and rice and barbecue, but it's the middle of the day during Ramadan. Things are quiet. Up ahead, I am presented with another staircase and climb higher up the Jabal. The street spirals upward, its width doubled in the last, perhaps even 7 feet across. I'm not sure anymore, though. Its walls or sides of houses are decorated with ubiquitous spray paint stencils of green palm trees, red stars, black moons, and mosques. To match the spirit, each stone of the staircase is painted pale yellow next to light orange and sky blue, interchanging and highlighting the texture of the limestone. I reach the top and see Jerusalem from the other side. No, in fact, even just being one street down at the start of my walk was Jerusalem from the other side. The tourists in the City of David at the spring have no idea that just past the narrow park they're in is a Palestinian shop and former vibrant city. I was standing in the street next to a car mechanic or a snack shop, and I could see the tourists, and I really don't think they saw me, but they were within earshot, just right there, so close it dumbfounded me, and I stopped walking so I could stare. My jaw dropped, and I imagine what it would be like to be a resident of Silwan and have tourists playing in the spring they grew up in and can no longer access. I've walked through the City of David tourist center in the past, and somehow, whether it be the sloping landscape or the trees or the narrative myth, it is possible to just not see the people of Silwan. The tourists, the expensive Amila Mall, the big buildings that demonstrate wealth align themselves with me as I move one street up the mountain. Looking over a wall and through fencing, they have never felt so far, so disconnected, and dare to say, gross. I'm reminded of people telling me it's always easier as a compassionate person to side with the oppressed and not understand the oppressor. I'm standing next to garbage juice and surrounded by happy kids, exchanging glances between graffitied stencils of Yasser Arafat and Mamila Mall. Continuing my walk, or my hike, my adventure, the words kif halak, salam, marhaba, and shukran have never been so sweet and trusting. In the shade of a tree, I pause to rest my heart and read the Arabic script delicately spray-painted on the stone. Ahlan wa sahlan, it reads. Happy I can read it, and that I do indeed feel welcome, I break the catching-my-breath rhythm for a big smile, a smile that lasts until it's transformed to the shape of the word, wow. When I catch the view of Haram al-Sharif from the top of the next street, I look at the noble sanctuary. I will never get tired of its beauty and my curiosity of the first temple. I reach a settlement and the start of the Mount of Olives. I go back down. A girl follows me. We giggle about how little English she knows and how little Arabic I know. But we walk, just asking each other how we are over and over again and exchanging names over again until we part ways. I pass more people, all welcoming and happy to see me, yet slightly confused still. I surprise an old woman as she is face down climbing steep narrow stairs, curling her body in the shape of the low passageway. She thought she was alone.
Sorry.
Asfe.
Lausanati. Back toward the old city, I am on a street that has a lot of settlements. Settlers and Palestinians pass each other on the street in silence. Tour buses, police, army, more tour buses, soldiers. I resist stealing the microphone from a tour to tell people what I think is the real truth about this place. A teenager prays to Mecca as the call to prayer sounds. He lays his mat in the archaeological park, some of the only green space around. Men in kippot run for buses. The stump of a cut-down olive tree in front of me acts as a good conclusion. Its roots are spread in its place of origin. Its body is cut but remains steadfast in what is now an archaeological park. Affected by the people around it, but holding its ground. I feel like I've just traveled so far, but I'm still within Jerusalem's municipal boundaries. How can such a holy city be so unjust, so biased? I walk home and contemplate a shared future, unsure of where to start, but knowing Jerusalem is the key.